So now we will have a project booster session. So each of the proposers of the project will tell you what the acronym hides. You have already read about some of these projects in the live document, and also here at the wiki, if it works. At the wiki, there is like a room for projects. So if you wish, you may use this SVN and the associated wiki for whatever project management would be useful for your team. So you already, all of you have accounts to this, and if they don't work, just talk to me. You can use the SVN to commit not only the slides, but also you can actually create folders here for the individual project and share whatever files you wish. Or you may use whatever other repositories are good for you. And you may also use this wiki to create some description or debate or whatever you like. Then, for the actual work, there are the rooms around, the room S8, S10, and S11. So talk to any Czech guy. Most of the students don't have the keys to those rooms, but all the researchers and all the staff can open that with their normal keys. Well, just behave reasonably. You can even leave your laptops in the rooms and make sure that... So never leave the room open. Just make sure that some Czech guy locks it for you, and then you can even leave your equipment there. We leave the switches there for the wired connection all the time. So we also want the rooms to be safe. The same applies to this room, but I don't think that you actually want to keep your equipment, your laptops here, because you are probably going to work in one of those rooms. In one of the project rooms, we have already set up like working desks, but feel free to shuffle them around. Just make sure that you don't cut the wires and that you get the wired connection where needed. Okay, and now for the madness session, we have seen that there are already about 18 projects proposed, and more may still be coming as we talk. So I'll draw like boxes here on the whiteboard, and I'll put project abbreviations in each of the boxes. And I would like every presenter to leave a little note, like where he would stand for a while, like in front of S8 or in front of S10, so that people who want to talk to him will find him. So that's the like peak period now. Everybody who is interested in working in one of those or even more projects, find your project leader and then discuss whatever you need, like where do you want to meet, whether you want to meet later in the afternoon or whatever. So leave traces and find your leader and talk to him directly. And also so that we have an overall glance, overview of which projects are most attractive. Whenever you are interested in something, make a tick on the whiteboard. So at the end, I would like to see at least 70, but you can use more ticks. You can. This is not a sign up. You can just mark that you are considering to take part in this project. You can make more ticks in those boxes. That after this session, I would like to see that some of the projects have just the leader there, and some do not have even the leader. So someone just proposed it, and now the topic is hanging in the air. And some of the projects are really crowded, and this will help us and help you to pick the project where you can get most yourself and help most the community. Okay, so now everybody, in whichever order you prefer, come and present. Or yeah.
All right. All right.
Which one is that?
It's a PDF to by text.
Yeah.
Can we just check? Oh, no, it's... The one. Go close to full screen.
Sorry?
1 minute,
not
oh.
Sharp, but I should.
Okay, I have to be really quick. So to make MT better, you can use fancy morphological features and make sure that you can break all the words apart, or you can just see all the words. And to see all the words, you just need to have a larger corpus, and that is on the internet. And a large part of this interesting text is hidden in PDF files. And so far, there's no really good extraction pipeline to get stuff out of PDFs. So I looked at the recent common crawl and found roughly 300 million PDF files, or URLs for PDF files. So the idea was to just download all these and see if we can find some parallel corpus. This will be built mostly on existing tools using document alignment taken from Bitexter and sentence alignment taken from supposedly HANALINE or so. But we can try and manage to work around all the issues that we have with PDF files, like this weird extraction errors when we extract text. So this is the this very slide. If I run it through PDF to text, then we see that there's some alignment errors and there's spurious line breaks in PDF text extraction. So we would just tackle this by writing up heuristics and then stick them into the tools and see what happens. And this is more of an engineering effort than being too scientific, but it will have great impact if it works out and we can come up with a nice large corpus for your favorite language. Yeah.
So yeah, as what you can see, it's very short. So it's machine translation for NLTK. So everybody love MT here. Everybody love MT should love NLP, and everybody who love NLP should love NLTK. So come and just write very simple codes. It's nothing fancy, nothing groundbreaking. But yeah, people will use your code, and you'll see your name appear as one of the NLTK contributors. Thank you.
Now we're stuck. I don't know. Do you have any web developer here? F11? Okay, yep. And now, then from here.
Hello, everybody. My name is Joachim Deiber. I'm from the University of Amsterdam, and I would like to propose a project about compound splitting. And in particular, we already did some work on this. Basically, if you know this paper from Knuckel 2015 by Sorikot and Oof, where they use word embeddings to split morphology. So basically, you look at the regularities that you have in the word embedding space, and you can use that to split to learn morphology. And we were interested in whether you can also use this kind of technique to split compounds and to learn what the parts of the compounds mean. And we wrote code for this, and we did some experiments in German to English, and the initial experiments looked pretty good. And now we kind of want to make this a bit more usable, make it more efficient. So this project will basically be taking our code, making it more efficient, also applying it to more language pairs, because we only tried German to English so far. We would also like to look at more baselines, so we compared against the standard Moses splitter so far, but I know that the SEDEC compound splitter is supposed to be also pretty good, so we would like to check against this. And then finally, we don't have a good way of deciding which words should be split or not at the moment. We can split them well, but we might not necessarily split the right ones. So this would also be kind of a research question to look into how we can do this in a better way. And if you want more information or if you want to read the paper, then you can go to this address here, udiber.github.io.
Well, hi, I'm Jorge from Promptshield Language Engineering, which is a company in Spain. And we are starting to work on CloudLM, which is LM built upon KenLM, which is, sorry, Ken for my code. And it's integrated in Moses, so we are trying to use CloudLM to use big, huge LMs from the monolingual data. And well, we are starting to have problems as usual. In the main issue is the latency of the request, because Solar is working on we can use in local machine, in remote server, or several servers. So if we are working on several servers, the speed decoding is slower. So if someone knows how to work with Boost libraries, if anyone can help, are welcome. Thank you.
So,
yes.
So, hi, everyone. So, my name is Pierre Lison from the University of Oslo. So, the starting point for this project is the recent development of discriminative classifiers to include rich features from the source context to score the translations. It has been based on Vopal Rabbit, which is a highly effective machine learning framework that can include different kind of lossless functions. And it's very interesting. But most of the feature functions that are currently included in Moses are restricted to the current sentence context. And I would like to see if we can include new feature functions for document-level features, so going beyond sentence boundaries, for instance, previous sentences, and see if we can improve the translation using these document-level features. And I'm particularly interested in applying this to conversational material, like film subtitles, because they're usually very short. And if we can include features from the preceding sentences, that could be very useful. But I'm also open to investigating new kind of other kinds of feature functions for the kind of domains as well. So it's quite an open-ended project. So we can include different kind of feature functions. As long as you're interested in document-level features for MT, you can join the project. Thank you very much.
Hi, Rust is a systems programming language from Mozilla. They want to rewrite Firefox in this language eventually. And I think it's perfect for machine translation. It can be as fast as C++. It's got nicer syntax. It has no seg faults because it guarantees memory safety. It's also great for concurrent programming. So the idea is to learn Rust and maybe rewrite some of the simple Perl scripts into Rust, like TrueGazer or eTokenizer. And yeah, I can help you learn the language. So Moses Experiment Management System is pretty static. If you want to make changes, you need to edit experiment meta, experiment Perl. But my idea is to have an interactive experiment management system that you can use in your browser, no dependencies. So there would be tools on the left, the graph in the middle, and it would generate a make file, read engine, submission commands, or a shell script. and you would just drag and drop a new tool, connect it, and or move it around. I have already something made, but the code is ugly, but we could improve it. It's written in JavaScript using React.js and vector graphics, but we could use other tools as well. Yes. Okay. My colleagues noticed that there's a feature in Moses zoning. You can limit how Moses can reorder. Moses can reorder words in the zone, but nothing should get out or in the zone. But that doesn't always work, and if someone could take a look, that would be great.
So EMS is Moses' experiment tool for managing the whole MT pipeline, and it's really nice. It's one of the nicer ones that I've seen for any of the decoders that are available. But it's it really only works for Moses, despite having this line here that says decoder equals, sort of suggests you could put in any decoder you want. But if you try to change that, you get something like this. It's actually quite dangerous. So it'd be nice to extend EMS so that it actually supported other decoders. So there'd be some difficulty, I think, just in generating different file formats for the grammar, but you can write a conversion script, and then the real difficulty is sort of pulling these deep tendrils out of the tuners. So we wanted to find some kind of API. I've already done a lot of work on this, trying to get it to work with Joshua. It's almost done. It wouldn't be too much more work, and I think it'd be useful for a lot of decoders, CDEC and Jane and so on. So if you're interested, I won't be working on this a lot this week, but I'd be happy to supervise it, show you what I've done, and work with you a little bit. So. Okay, so another project is large-scale discriminative tuning. So tuning is typically done on a tuning set of about 3,000 sentences or so. So that's great because those sets aren't too big, but it makes it really hard if you want to build a decoder with lots and lots of sparse, especially lexicalized features. So one of Leon Huang's students and colleagues had a paper on doing, actually there's been a bunch of work on doing this, but large-scale discriminative tuning on the training data, where you use this max violation perceptron to just decode lots and lots of your training data, and then you can successfully tune lots of sparse features. So it seems pretty nice. Nobody else has done it, so one reason this would be nice is to corroborate that work, and also it really is good. He got a couple of blue points in improvement, so that'd be nice to do. So I'd be interested in doing it for Joshua. We could also do it for really any decoder, phrase-based decoder. And basically, it just requires you to be able to do force decoding as one piece, which is implemented in both of these decoders. And then you need to sort of do a little bit of thinking about the chart. So after you decode, you have to dump the hypergraph and then work with that. So that piece would probably be a little bit harder, but not too difficult. So if you're interested in working on that, I would also be happy to work with you on it. What?
Tuning 1 hour. You're actually tuning on your training data, so you should actually benefit from the training data.
Oh, yes. Yeah, right.
Andre knows I don't know how to use Windows. So this may relate to some of the other language modeling projects here, but currently we do sequential round trips to the between the CPU and RAM when we're doing language model queries. And actually, I profiled this, and the single assembly instruction that's doing a random fetch from memory is 10 times as expensive as all the rest of the execution going on inside of a language model. And conveniently, Intel processors have this instruction that says, here's a memory address. I'm going to need it in the future. Please put it in the cache. And you can wrap that up in a nice GCC intrinsic here, underscore underscore built-in prefetch, call that with a memory address and say, I will access it later. And then on top of that, you can build a pipeline of queries where you start doing one language model query, prefetch it, and then later come back and actually access that value. So this week I'm hoping we can just get perplexity scoring to go a lot faster, and then the next challenge is integrating that into decoding with a pipelining approach that maybe pops a bunch of items off the queue and puts them back into the queue when they're ready. Also, I'm looking for a PhD student.
Yeah, thanks for the advertisement.
Right, so during decoding, when you have a partial translation or a translation, what you have to do is that you have to score the translation with a certain number of feature functions like word count, phrase table, language model, the distortion score. Usually that's done all together in one go, but what you might want to do is actually just to separate the easy feature functions, score them first, and then the difficult feature functions, you score them later. And that's called multi-path decoding or lattice rescoring. So in lattice rescoring or multi-path decoding, you in the first pass, the output's a lattice, and then you score each the translation in that lattice. So why do you want to do this? Well, sometimes feature functions are very inefficient. They have, like, if you're using something like a neural network or a network language model, it takes a long time. So you want to do the easy stuff first, and then rescore with the hard feature functions later. You can also use it for course defined. So you maybe like to have a language model which is small, score that, and then later on the second pass, score with a better high quality language model. You can also do things like change that. So in the first pass, if your lattice contains morphemes, and then in the second pass, change the lattice to have words instead, and then desegment the lattice and rescore it then. So I've implemented this already. This project is about basically debugging it and actually finding useful things to do with lattice rescoring. Thanks.
Okay, so who's going to be next?
Okay, I'm proposing two projects. This is the first one. So one of the things when we in Edinburgh that we have frequently is that we are collaborating with people who want to use our machine translation systems, and normally it ends up that we set up a server for them because it's too complicated for them to install their own MOSES server and their own MOSES system. And Dockerize is a virtualization solution that's become increasingly popular, even with large cloud-based providers. So the goal of this project is to take a small MOSES system and make a MOSES server available that's functional as a Docker application that people can simply download and install on their local machines. So So as I said, Docker is a virtualization solution that actually is very lean in terms of, so you don't run a complete virtual machine on your system. It's a thinner layer that just translates the calls to the operating system, and it's also available for most platforms, including Windows and Mac OS. And the goal of this project basically would be to set up the server. If we still have time, we could collaborate with the Interactive EMS project to have some customization options via a web server on that Docker application, or create a sister Docker application with the Maticat tool, which is an open source computer-assisted translation tool. And now we're going to the second project, Refactor. Okay, so the second project that I'm proposing is to refactor the phrase table lookup in MOSES. Right now, the way the MOSES lookup works is that it first creates a long list of all the lookups it wants to do and then goes through all the phrase tables, processing one lookup at a time and then merging them in the factored framework. And what I'm proposing is to actually send the input in parallel to all the phrase tables that we may have them create whatever they can produce and merge at the end. That facilitates parallelization. It might also make things a little more efficient because phrase tables may have some shortcuts to determine quickly whether they can find something or not. For example, in a tri-based model, when you look up, if you don't find a trigram in your corpus, there's no point in looking up any foregram, because if the trigram isn't in the source data, then the foregram won't be there. Whereas hash-based phrase tables don't have that guarantee, so you actually have to go through all the possible phrases to look things up. So there might be some optimizations that MOSES should be agnostic of. The phrase tables should know what they do. MOSES should not control that. And the other thing is also that you might be able to actually have, for example, a longer phrase in a abstracted word class-based model that you then can fill actually with phrase table hits from a lexicalized phrase table that has more information, still maintaining some of the reordering information. And that's basically it. That's the thing that I would like to try to accomplish by the end of the week, or at least get started, that we have a good working group working on that.
I don't have a slide, but I have an interesting project, which would be WMT each year runs the eval using appraise, and it's time to already now prepare for appraise next year. So in a nutshell, that means making it fit for integrating a lot of the code Matt has and several people wrote over the last years into one package, so we can run the whole eval campaign a little more neatly compared to the last years. And second, a more research thing would be actually talk about the evaluation interfaces, which means think if we can build something which is nicer to do in the evaluation campaign.
So MT Compare Eval is a tool for evaluating machine translation output and analyzing it, and especially for comparing two MT outputs. And its origin were already in some MT marathon years ago. And now you can try it at wmt.ufal. There are translations of WMT 14 and 15, so please check it. And we would like to improve this tool and maybe also cooperate and or maybe integrate it into metrics.mt.org or maybe into Apprise or maybe into Translate 5. And we would like also, so far we have their blue score and some F measure, but it's modular, so we would like to add more metrics like Meteor and so on, and some nice colors highlighting. We have also engram statistic over all the engrams in the corpora and statistical significance test, bootstrap resampling that's already there. So in this project, what we would like either to improve it and we have already enough ideas or to adapt it to your needs if you want to use it in your workflow, developing your MT system, no matter what kind of MT system it is. It can be integrated that immediately when you make a new version, you can compare it with the older version, and the pairwise means that you can see in which sentences your new version is better than the previous version, like the, where is the most big sentence level difference, and in which sentences the other way around. So, and we have also a poster and paper in Prague.10, so there will be more info. Yeah.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Tom Kocmi, and I'm proposing a project to create open source implementation of unsupervised morphology, which will be based on the paper, that one. we create the implementation either in Java or Python, depends on what will be more favorable, and we'll experiment with languages that are in the paper, and we extend it to Czech and maybe other languages. Depends what you'll like.
So here's one more project proposal, and actually 2 years ago no one picked it up, and I can't understand why. But it's an interesting project, and it will help us all. So those of you who are using MOSES regularly, you know that there is the cruise control where you can check which of the commits of MOSES is working well. But you have no guarantee. Well, you have small guarantee that it will work for your particular data well. And the idea behind Common Spectre is to write like a prospector for common good, or think large hadron collider, the device that physicists have in Geneva. So we could have something like that as well. I would like MT researchers to submit their training and data training sets, dev sets, and test set, and suggested configuration options, and also configuration variations. And this Common Spectre, the large collider, would run constantly, and it would just emit the results. And then the results would get assembled somewhere and presented on the web. So all you would have to do would be just to collect the data and publish it as an ACL paper. So that's the idea behind Common Spectre, papers being published automatically. Actually, half of that work is done already. We have our experiment management system, like a sibling to EMS. We call it EMAN, and you will learn about it tomorrow during the lab session. And EMAN has an extension which is called Prospector, and Prospector just creates configurations by variation. So all is needed is to debug it and get it running and at the web front end. It can be also linked to the EMS for other decoders, because other decoders can be easily put into EMAN. That's a similar task to EMS, similar complexity of the task, and also interactive EMS. So if we have an interactive experiment design where you on the web just configure your setup and say whether you want to use compound splitter or not, and, or whether you want to use recaser or not, and which lemmatizers you want to use, and then you upload the data during the interactive experiment setup, the interactive Common Spectre could examine all the configurations for you, and you would just download the best setup as a ready-made model. That would be one more extension. Okay, so that's this project, and then we'll try to switch to another laptop, and hopefully we will see some some project proposed by Mark.
I just have to just move it across. I'm Mark, and I'm not involved in MT research so far. I'm worked all my life in translation industry as an IT professional, and did a lot with Transit 5, which we developed. It's an open source tool for proofreading and process editing, and it created a lot of traction in MT research, especially with DFK AI. And right now, they at DFKI, they have a lot. They have the whole WMT data in there from all the past 10 years, which is possible to look it up. And the idea is to turn Transit 5 in a hub and a database for all the MT research data, which exists so far, and to be able to easily create new tasks out of old data and copy columns and so on, and then plug in existing quality estimation tools like Comparival or Bloor calculation and so on, and to walk across the data which is already in there and on the database level. And the idea of the project, of the development project here at the MT Marathon, is to create such kind of plugins. So to be part of this project, it's of course good to know the languages in which Transit 5 is written, which is JavaScript and PHP, but you don't have to. You also can, if you want to integrate your tool or tool you know you work with, it's of course necessary that you know your tool, so you can provide your side of the integration. And this is how the interface of different tasks look like. And just shortly open one task, so you can see it here. You have a task of the Launchpad project in there with all the NPX markup. And you see it's easily possible to store a lot of data. I have projects in there with 1,000 segments in one task, and it's no problem. You just continuously explore through them. So that's this project about Transit 5. So and where should it be take place? I don't know.
This is just like the
yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I don't know what kind of good here. Okay.
Thanks. So that was it from the project proposers, and now I suggest that, like, I'll tell you what will happen, and then we will do it, not right away. So then you will come here and you will mark whichever projects you are considering, and then we'll probably have a look and see whether some of the you yourself will have a look and see whether your project is really crowded and your second choice would be a better fit or whatever. And then you will start searching for your leader, and we have still about 20 minutes before we can go downstairs for the lunch. So during those 20 minutes, make sure to talk to all your prospective project leaders to meet them and say where you will meet afterwards, whether you want to attend the lab at 2:30 or whether you want to start working on the project right away. The common program for the marathon is the lab in the room SU2, which is downstairs, at 2:30, and then tomorrow at 9, the regular lecture here. And between that, you can do whatever you like and sit in any of those rooms. You can switch your project as many times as you wish, but it's not very productive. It's better to pick one project and work on that throughout the week. Be warned that on Wednesday you are expected to give a midweek report. This will be a similar type of presentation, so your presentation should be committed to the SVN, and we will present them one by one. And the whole Saturday morning is devoted to project final presentations. So take that into account, that you don't have to just you don't have only to code, you also have to present what you have done during the week. For the lunch, some of you have prepaid lunches, and that happens here in the basement of the building. Some of you have not selected this and then ask us or anybody where to go, or well, you have been in, many of you have been in Prague before, so you know where you can eat. Are there any questions before I let you come to the whiteboard and take your preferred projects? Yep. Well, the project leaders are, in principle, and some of the project leaders themselves want to take part in other projects. So I think that in the 20 minutes now, we all should stay here and like talk to each other, and then later on move to those rooms. But I think these rooms, well, if you later on find out that room for some reason doesn't match your needs, just change it on the whiteboard. And also, if you are a prospective team member and you cannot find your leader, write it down in the project's place. So the project leader's responsibility is to check this whiteboard every now and then and make this little piece of room a bidirectional communication channel. So that project leaders, please check if someone is looking for you and failing to read something. For example, I don't know what this word is. I know what coffee is, but I can't read this. So I would write a question mark here and hopefully someone would clarify it for me. Okay. No further questions? Then here is a box of white chalk.